Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and thanks for joining us for this West London Sport QPR podcast. I'm Dan Bennett. I'm joined as ever by West London Sport's Ian McCullough and former QPR striker Kevin Gallen. Before we start, I just want to say if you're interested in advertising on this podcast or sponsoring this podcast, please email. What are you laughing at? Interrupting me, distracting me. Please do email info@westlondonsport.com or just contact one of us on Twitter. That would be fine. Now, onto the football. Things are looking very good, Mr. Gallen, aren't they? Very good indeed. Two back-to-back away wins, obviously beating Bristol City on Saturday, followed by Sheffield United last night. We're recording this on Wednesday. You know, it's very early, Kev, but are you getting carried away yet?
No, not yet, but very impressive two results, and especially away from home. I didn't watch, unfortunately, I didn't see the game against Bristol City, but I had reports back from friends and obviously from, I was looked at Twitter when Ian was doing a little bit of commentating, and the general consensus was that we should have been 3-4, 5-0 up, and even my boy watched it. He said we should have been 3 or 4 up at half time, so looked like a convincing win. My friends all said that we never really looked under pressure. And then last night, against the top of the table, who Sheffield United have had a great start to the season, obviously, being top of the table. It's their first home loss of the season, and courtesy of QPR, and a fantastic 3 points, and a really good performance. And the manager changed it up as well, and made a few changes, which at the time I was thinking that might come back to haunt us. It didn't. It worked out well. We freshened it up a little bit in midfield. Amos, I thought, had a really good game. On that big pitch, I think it suits him. Maybe that was the thinking. Big pitch with his good energy and mobility, getting around the pitch, closing down, breaking. And I think the tactics were spot on. Sort of defended deep, soaked it up and counter-attacked very well. And when you've got three players who got good mobility and want to run in behind and receive the ball and make things happen in Willock, Roberts and Chair, with Amos joining in, it worked very well. And I don't know what the plan was, but the plan looked like that. It was executed very well from watching it on the TV.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm sure there's a few eyebrows raised, weren't there, Kev, when the team come out on Twitter. I mean, I saw a few fans kind of questioning, but obviously changed the midfield around a bit. But certainly paid off, didn't it? And I suppose that just kind of speaks to the depth QPR have got in those kind of central areas. Obviously, central defence has been a big theme of the last sort of week or two. And midfield as well. There's a lot of options in there now. And, you know, you think back to the Swansea game where he sort of said maybe he wished he'd... he'd changed it a bit. Maybe he's kind of learned from that and decided to change the midfield around a little bit and get a bit more energy in there, and it's certainly paid off, didn't it?
Well, 100%. Also, he's probably thinking we've got the home game on Friday is a day earlier than normal, than the Saturday game. So, yeah, I think he's looked at the... Look, we've got a lot of options in midfield, like you just said. Stefan Johansson's had a very good start to the season, back to sort of the Stefan Johansson that we saw when he first arrived. And he's rested him, the captain, and you're like, sort of, you do raise your eyebrows and you're thinking, is that after, you know, a goal-scoring win for Stefan on Saturday? And you're like thinking, you know, he's taking a little bit of a risk there. But he's put Amos in and who looked fresh. And I think he's going like sort of horses for courses, where I think the bigger pitch at Sheffield United, he probably thought that would suit putting Amos in there for his legs. Mm. And it's worked out well. But like I said, we've got a lot of options in midfield and got a lot of options. We've got four really good centre backs who, you know, if you played two, you'd say, well, we're solid there anyway. And if you played the other two, we're solid again. And in midfield again, last night it was a case where you sort of say he can mix a match and turn it, you know, change it around. And you like think, well, we're still strong in that area of the pitch. So, you know, he's got a lot of options and a good squad, especially in defence and midfield.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely, like I say, worth giving Stefan Johansson a shout out. I mean, he kind of came in for a bit of criticism last year, didn't he, when things started to go wrong. But I think we kind of touched on it last year as well. I'm sure he wasn't 100% fully fit last year. I think he was carrying something. But certainly this season looks to be back to his best. But Ian, like Kev said, they're a real statement win, isn't it? I mean, we know things obviously were going well, but you look at Sheffield United's home record to go away and win there. Just a massive victory. And I know you were quite impressed with Sam Field as well in midfield. What were your kind of thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought it was obviously fantastic 3 points. You look at the game at Bristol City, you get the 3 points there, and obviously you want to win every game, but you kind of look at the Sheffield United game and look at it and say, well, if you get something out of it, then good as gold. But if you lose, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, they really went up there and deserved it. I mean, Sheffield United have had more shots on goal than any other team in the division going into that game. And really, apart from a sighter from Norwood in the second half that Dieng saved very well, they didn't really pose that many threats on goal. Rangers could have won 3-0. I mean, Chairs made a great run in the first half and the keeper's pulled off the save, but really he should score that. He's done the hard work. And then in the second half, Amos wins the ball, squares it to Dykes, he misses, and then Roberts' follow-ups, you know, goes in, you know, miles wide. So I know from speaking to friends in the Sheffield press, they're all very impressed with QPR and the way they approached the game and they defended well. I mean, Kev touched on it there, the horses for courses approach. Something that Mick Beale kind of likes. I think having five subs now has completely changed the way that managers can prepare for matches. Usually we'd say, like, you know, Jimmy Dunn was unlucky to get dropped against City. He hasn't done a lot wrong. But Beale sort of said, because Bristol City played with three sort of mobile forwards, he wanted Clark, Salter and Balogun in there because he felt they were the most athletic centre-backs he had available to him. The game against Sheffield United, they're a more direct side. They've got the big forward line. Out comes Clark Salter, in comes Jimmy Dunn. His kind of game is a great game. You know, winning headers, clearances. You know, even doing his Stephen Cluxton impression in the second half when Senny Dien got injured and taking the goal kicks. For those who don't know, Stephen Cluxton was the Dublin GA goalkeeper who is regarded as the greatest goalkeeper probably to play the game. But, you know, hoiking it down the field. And it was just a great team display. It really was. You know, field, you know, Rangers have been crying out for a defensive midfield since kind of Sean Derry retired. And even that season when Derry was playing, he was sort of, you know, the wrong side of 30. But, you know, Sam Field, he's 23, 24. And he was excellent last night, really, really solid. And as he was against Bristol City. And everyone sort of chipped in. And you've got another game Friday, which is kind of ludicrous, really. You think you're playing in Yorkshire on a Tuesday and you're on again on Friday. And he'll probably mix it up again. You know, he's rested Johansson. Johansson, as has been touched on already, has had a great start of the season. But can he play three games in a week? Probably not. You take him out, rest him, put him back in for Friday. But yeah, I mean, obviously injuries, well, I'm sure we'll go into that as we progress. But You know, that aside, it was a great night for QPR, a really good win, and almost a statement win. I know it's October and you can't really, after last season, we learned not to get sort of too hot, too excited, but, you know, really, I think QPR deserve a bit of respect now from the wider media. Everyone talks about Burnley and Norwich and Watford and Sheffield United, and QPR almost sort of disregarded, but, you know, I think away wins at Watford, Millwall, I think... Yeah.
Is that a good thing, though, under the radar?
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But I just think I know, that wasn't a fluky win last night. It wasn't a smash and grab 1-0. They had to defend, they had to dig in. But that was a very, you know, a merited victory. And I think could have been more. And, you know, the Bristol City game as well. I mean, you know, I've been watching QPR away from home for a very long time. And I haven't seen too many more impressive first half displays than what they put on at Ashton Gate. You know, better finishing. They could have been 5-0 up. I just couldn't live with them. Embarrassing almost. Just the back line at Bristol City looks so, it was almost like, you know, professionals against pub players. That's how easy it was at times. They just kind of, Naismith and Atkinson aren't, you know, they're kind of solid championship defenders, but, you know, Roberts, Chair and Willock just made a mockery of them. And, you know, that's another big pitch as well. And it's, a friend of mine reckons that QPR, the away could be an away team more than the home team. You know, the way that teams sort of have to open up and come at QPR was at home on the smaller pitch. You know, I think if they are going to be in the promotion kind of discussion, they kind of need to start winning these home games more. But away from home, it's been hugely impressive so far.
Yeah, I agree. It's very much a statement win in the sense that I think it's put, like you said, in QPR on the map in terms of the wider football media and football fans. I think they'll look at that and start seeing QPR more as a team that can contend for promotion. Whereas before, people might have, like you said, Kev, they might have gone under the radar a little bit more. So I certainly think it's done that. But yeah, Ryan, you mentioned there, obviously, with the good, as ever with QPR, always comes the bad, doesn't it? And a couple of big injury concerns. Senny Dieng suffering a thigh injury, didn't come off. But as you mentioned there, Ryan, Jimmy Dunn was having to take the goal kicks for him. So certainly a concern, which McBeal said after, and perhaps the bigger concern as well is Chris Willock, who has suffered another hamstring injury, came off and had some sort of strapping around it at the end. Like, we don't know how bad these injuries are. But anyway, let's just hear what McBeal had to say on those injuries in the Sheffield United game as well.
What was the injury to Willock? He's felt something in his hamstring. So listen, he's come back, hasn't he, from an operation where he missed from March through to the start of the season. So I'm hoping it's not a bad one, but we won't know. We won't know. I think this is the thing. Chris is one of the better players in the league. He's obviously done excellent this year, scored some great goals coming back. You know, we've been away to Bristol and we're away tonight. Now, it evens itself over the season, but we're going again Friday. And so, like, if we want the best players in this league to perform, I heard Paul speak at the weekend about the amount of internationals he had away, and they're arriving back, and then he's straight into the game with Birmingham. So it's important we don't devalue the product of the Championship, because I think it's an unbelievable league with 23 teams that can all beat each other. That's what we're seeing every week. But it's important, like, we're travelling home now, 3 hours, to get home at God knows what time. Friday night we're playing live on Sky. So I don't understand that. Why does it have to be Friday? Why can't it be Saturday? Why couldn't it be Sunday? You know, we have to be fair to the players. And that's ultimately what's going to cause the muscle injuries. Our goalkeeper tonight's got a knock as well. He can't kick the ball. He's pulled his thigh. So it's a concern.
What about yourself, Michael? You seem to be enjoying yourself this season. Is it too early to think about what you might be able to achieve this season?
Yeah, it's miles too early because it's only the 12th game. It's baby steps. It's important we don't get too high or too low. Seen a lot of my co-managers lose their job every time I turn on Sky, so it just tells you I know how quickly it can turn. I'm really enjoying the job. I didn't enjoy the last half hour tonight, if I'm honest. That's the least I've enjoyed a half hour of football, because Sheffield United were very dominant in that. So in general, I've really enjoyed the job. I prefer it to being an assistant, because at least I can stay on the side and shout a little bit. When you're a new assistant, you've got to sit down and be polite, haven't you? So listen, that's 12 in 46. There's a lot of games to go.
Kev, like Beal said there, it's obviously a concern, isn't it? We don't know how bad these injuries are yet. We'll hopefully find out a little bit more later in the week. But, you know, you've had your fair share, as you mentioned before we come on, of hamstring injuries. So you can kind of speak to this. But, I mean, what if Willock's going to miss a bit of game time? What are they going to do? I mean, obviously, he's kind of irreplaceable, isn't he, in the sense that he is so often the difference, as he was last night for to QPR. But I mean, they've got some options there, haven't they, to kind of deal with his absence. Is it what a case of dropping kind of Roberts back into a number 10 role, maybe putting Dykes back in up top? Do you think would that be the way to go?
I think that would be the obvious thing to do, and that's what I would do. I think it's bad timing for Willock. Obviously, it's never good timing to get an injury, but the thing, the concern about the injuries is, are they one Senny Dieng? Is it the same thigh that he did last season? So that's a concern. And the other one is it the hamstring that Willock had he had an operation? That's right. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, he had an operation. Yeah,
same hamstring. He had an operation on. We won't find out until they're scanned, but I'd be very surprised if Willock plays now for the next 3 or 4 weeks, which then sort of takes us into, you know, that break for the World Cup. So, and will they risk him thinking, well, we've got another extra month, we'll bring him back for December. So very concerning, because he's been the talisman. And the thing about Willock is, and I'm going to, another asking, you're going to find out for me for next week, Dan, is this his goals to shots ratio, because I think he had one shot really on goal last night and he scored. Against Millwall, I think he had maybe one shot, he scored. So, which is brilliant going. My point being is, he's like, he gets a shot and he's so accurate. I mean, he hit the post against Bristol City, led to a goal. So he's been involved in so many goals, not only creating, but also scoring them. So it's a big loss. It's a big loss. And I said last week, when he was injured last season, Chair sort of fell off. Now, Chair's obviously having a great season. Now this is his time to step up. He ain't going to have Willock there and that little partnership on the left-hand side where they, in, you know, little 1-2s and they do it well. And the best when I saw them do it was Watford away. They were very good down that left-hand, that little side left-hand, inside left, where they play 1-2s and keep the ball and manage to get shots off and score goals and create goals. So I think it's a big loss for the next few games anyway. We'll find out what the scans say. And also with Senny Dieng, because if it's his kicking foot, then he's not going to play. Because at the end of that, there's going to be a stage where the players are going to roll the ball back to him and he's going to have to kick it long. Because
even if it's not, you need your other leg to keep steady, don't you, for your kicking foot.
Fire injuries, these injuries recur as well, because if it's your kicking foot and your goalkeeper, if that fire is not 100%, 100%, it's 99.9%, and the ball goes back and you get closed down by the centre forward and you have to whack that ball and you're not thinking at the time because you're just thinking the ball's coming to you, I've got to whack it. That's when injuries occur. I had hamstrings before, and you're in training, and you're like, you're running and you're sort of, you're thinking it's okay and you want it to be okay and you're desperate for it to be okay. And you're running and you're sort of, it's always in the back of your mind. But then when you're playing a match or you're playing in, say, like a five-a-side in training and the ball just spins over to your left-hand side or goes in behind you and you don't think and you react, that's when your hamstring goes, when you're not thinking about holding back. And yeah, it's very concerning because, you know, it's happened to us last season, and the season sort of went downhill when Willock and Senny Dieng got injured. So hopefully we'll find out from the scans in the next few days how good or how bad the injuries are. But yeah, a bit concerning. But Lyndon Dykes hasn't played for a while. He'll probably be chomping at the bit. 2 goals for Scotland in the last international break. So this is his time to get back in. He should be, have some confidence, even though last night, you know, that chance Ian just talked about, he side-footed it. And I'm thinking, that ball gets cut back to you. You laces low and hard, and that goes in the back in the far corner, and you're up and running, your confidence is sky high. So we'll have to wait and see. But I would say Dykes will come in, and Roberts will come in and play the Chrissy Willock role.
Just on Dykes, I mean, I think I'm right in saying all his goals have been headed goals this season, haven't they? I can't think if he's played another game for Scotland and not scored with his foot, but he scored against, was it Middlesbrough when he scored with his head? Yeah. And he's both against Scotland with his head as well. So he seems to be better with those chances that just come to his head and he can just...
He should have headed it in then.
Yeah, to get down and, you know.
Andy Gray.
Maybe that's the way to go. But, Ian, you know, like Kev said there, it is a massive concern, isn't it? I mean, how much would a Willock kind of absence for a lengthy period or even for a couple of games, perhaps, how much does that hurt QPR, do you think? Does it weaken them massively? Because, I mean, you can probably go into a bit more detail on this, but certainly from when I've seen him this season, even when he's not constantly a threat and he's not constantly impacting games, like Kev said, when he gets a chance to shoot on that on the edge of the box, he's so accurate with his shots. And how many times this season has he scored the pivotal goal in the game? I mean, when you take that out of the team, I mean, how much does that concern you?
Oh, yeah. Play like Willock, of course he's going to weaken your team. I mean, last night he was pretty quiet, really, but he popped up and, you know, really their goalkeeper should have saved it, to be honest. But he was there on hand, put it in. And I mean, the worrying thing is when he did his hamstring at Forest, it was getting tackled.
Mm.
And the leg sort of wrapped around him and it was a really heavy pitch and he went down. Whereas last night he was just sort of running down the line and it was the old sniper from the crowd just pulled up, nowhere near him. And they can sometimes be, you know, the bad ones. But I do think, on the flip side, I think QPR are much better incubated in that position than they were last year. I think, we're talking about, obviously, in the short term, you've got Roberts coming back. He'll probably play the Willock role on Friday against Reading. But you've also got Taylor Richards. He's almost fit.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. He's sort of coming back now, isn't he?
He's back in training this week. I think he'll be back training Friday, I think Bill said. So he's not going to play, obviously, this Friday, but he'd have to be sort of in and around the squad for Luton. He'll probably play a 21s match, you think, maybe next week. And he's I mean, he's not Willock, who is in this division, but he's a more similar player to Willock than what they had last year. So that will give them some sort of cover. I think it's important as well. Like, you can't rush him back. You just sort of go, okay, hamstrings, as Kev has outlined already, it dodgy injuries. You just sort of almost have to go, right, better to have it now. You'd rather have him now than lose him in the running. You know, wrap him in cotton wool and just put him away for a month. With Senny, interesting. He carried on playing, though.
Mm.
I mean, it was about 15 minutes he was done, was taking the goal kicks. And I could be right, I could be wrong here, but he made that full-length save from Norwood. And I think that was when he may have sustained the injury.
Right.
But I don't know, but he wasn't obviously limping. And where they just went, just take the kicks. Because Rangers were really under the pump that part of the game. So they were still involved, sort of, you know, short kicking and stuff like that. But it was just, you know, the place kicking almost. Dunsick over that. But
you don't want a dodgy goal kick in that situation, do you?
Yeah. But when you've got like a, you know, 3.5 hour journey on a coach back to London, that's when the injury sees up. That's when, you know, the adrenaline will kick through. So we don't know there. But I'd be more kind of optimistic about Dieng than I would about Willock. But I do, again, to last year, I mean, the loss of Willock was huge, but I think it's underplayed the significance of losing Dieng in a similar period, because you know, not just for his shot saving ability, but just the way he sets the tone from the back. You know, I think he's one of the top keepers in this division. So hopefully if he is out, it's just one game. Maybe they'll just bring in Jordan Archer for the game on Friday and have him ready for the Luton game. But we'll have more of an idea tomorrow when we speak to Bill
about,
you know, what the situation is.
It's very much deja vu, isn't it? When they lost Dieng and Willock last year around the sort of same time and kind of season started to unravel, those of all the injuries that happened, obviously they were certainly the two biggest. I mean, Ian, you mentioned there, is it just a case of bringing Jordan Archer in? Do you think if Dieng's not available, is he the kind of number two to come in? Obviously, Joe Walsh is a quite exciting talent. I watched him for the under-21s on Monday and he made a couple of really big saves and I know he's quite highly rated by the club as well. Maybe give him a chance, or do you see Jordan Archer coming in as the kind of...
Oh, no, Jordan Archer's number two. I mean, isn't he not alone at Hampton and Richmond? Joe Walsh? I imagine they can recall him when they can. I mean, I know he's training with QPR, but I think he's on loan at...
Oh, okay, right.
But I think they've sent two goalies to Hampton and Richmond, I think. One of the... Matteo Solomon and Walsh have both gone there, but I know he's training with the first team and sort of playing for Hampton at the weekend, but maybe they'll recall him. But, you know, I mean, Jordan Archer, he's not Senny Dieng, but I mean, he's an experienced championship goalkeeper. He can, you know, I wouldn't be too upset about him holding the fort for you know, one or two games, but it's just, we'll just see how he is. Hopefully it's not too serious. And I mean, again, with Willock, even if it's not too serious, I'd still be kind of taking on with him and, you know, not rushing him back at all. I think it was wise from Beal last night. Again, this goes back to the five subs things. As soon as Willock got injured, he almost took Roberts and Chair off straight away. Just because, you know, the game on Friday. And that's perhaps the part of the game where Sheffield United got more of a foothold and Rangers were on the back foot because there was less attacking threats on the field for QPR. So, you know, I mean, that's the impressive thing I've seen about Beal, the in-game management and just the decision-making and, you know, the tweaks he makes in-game and the substitution he makes. It's, you know, he's been impressive so far with what he's done.
Yeah, you are. I'm just looking now. You are right. He joined Hampton and Richmond on a month's loan on the 16th of September. So he's still on that, isn't he? So, yeah, that's an interesting one to keep an eye on as well, whether to see whether he comes back. But, Kev, I mean, you mentioned earlier about the big pitch and how that might be kind of playing to QPR's advantage, because Bristol City is obviously a massive pitch, isn't it, down at Ashton Gate, and Sheffield United the same as well. And obviously Luke Amos, a player who kind of thrives in those situations. Is that something that works to QPR's advantage, do you think? Do you think that's maybe why we're seeing some good results away from home and maybe the results haven't quite replicated to the home performances yet? Because obviously QPR's pitch is, as you'll know, is not especially a big one, is it?
No. But Sheffield United, I know Bristol City's and Sheffield United's are big. And I think it suited last night. I mean, when you have three mobile and not really a centre forward, so you've got three strikers, pretty much, Willock, Roberts and Chair. And they're all three of them very mobile. And they want to run, and they want to run in behind, and they want to come and get the ball to feet and, you know, link up, and then there's space in behind. I think it suits QPR at the moment. We defended very, I mean, as Ian was saying about the last 20 minutes and whatever. I mean, I was watching it at home and I said to my son, look, they were like playing it across in the last third, trying to get the ball into the box. We had literally every player back. There was 11 players defending in the last third, which is good, very good. And it's very well organised, and, you know, our shape was very good. And I think our shape's very good. And then when we did it a little bit against Watford as well, and I went to that game, and then we can break very quick, and we got... So we're sort of playing away from home, a little bit of a counter-attack. Defender deep, good shape. And then when we get the ball, bang, we're right at them. And we've got pace. Willock's got pace. Roberts has got pace. And the big pitch, I think, suits QPR at the moment. Now, at home, I think on Friday, be a little bit different. I think Johansson will come back into the team, where it's a tighter pitch, where Johansson, you know, very good football player, very good passer, can pick a pass out, can... Fred passes, as maybe a slightly slower build-up, where Reading might be thinking, hold on, we'll play a little bit deeper and try and hit QPR on a counter-attack, and QPR will have the majority of the possession and have to try and break them down. And that's why when that happens, that's when you need a passer like Stefan Johansson, and who can make those little passes. He's got good composure. And, I think it'll be an interesting game against Reading on Friday. They're doing all right. I'm very surprised they're up there at the moment. I think
a lot of people are, to be honest. And yeah, they were a lot of people's favourites to go down, or at least be in the relegation battle.
Yeah, I thought they would struggle, but fair play to them. So it's going to be an interesting game. And two teams, I think, are we fourth and they're third? Is that right?
Yeah. As it stands, there's more championship games tonight. So obviously,
Kev, do you think with the wing-backs, the way that Laird in particular, who set up the winner last night, do you think the way they play, that kind of maybe mitigates a bit less the loss of Willock?
Well, yeah, I mean, I spoke to you, was it offline last week, and you said that Kenneth Powell just keeps making those outside runs constantly, and he doesn't get played in. But he did against Bristol City. They laid him in, didn't they? And he crossed it. But the reason why, and the manager will probably be saying to, especially on the left-hand side, this is what I think, and I might be completely wrong, but I think the manager says when Chair or Willock on the left-hand side get the ball in that area, he says, pal, I want you bombing on as fast as you can on the outside to create space for Willock or Chair to come in on their right foot. So the right back will sort of half think, do I go with Powell? And it would make a little movement to go with Powell, and that which would then create half a yard for Willock or Chair to come in on their favoured right foot and have a shot or cross. And you said he's making all these runs and he's never getting it. And I said, well, that's probably the plan. But then he did get it on Saturday and he laid it across for Roberts to score a goal. So it worked out all around. But yeah, Ethan Led, I mean, he's got the energy, hasn't he? And the legs to bomb up and down, up and down. And we're not actually playing with sort of wingers, but our fullbacks pretty much are, when we got the ball, they're like our wingers, aren't they? They're overlapping. And that's where you have Sam Field then drops in, into sort of drops a little bit deeper and protects the two centre half. So it's working very well at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that system that they play with Field, like you say, dropping in, the wing backs providing the width, and then you got like the two narrower attacking mid. I think you mentioned it last week, Ian. There's not many or any teams that really play that way, are there, in the Championship with the kind of two number 10s? So no. It's very interesting from a kind of tactical football nerd, I guess, perspective to kind of see how that's been working. But Kev, just to stay on the defence, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the central defence debate has been kind of one of the big ones over the past week or so. Who should play now? Everyone's kind of getting back fit again. Obviously, he went with Clark Salter on Saturday, and then dropped Jimmy Dunn. Perhaps some people thought that was a bit harsh, but then obviously recalled him last night. I mean, would you be happy for that to continue, for there to be a lot of rotation in that area? Because central defence sometimes is seen as an area where you need to have that established pairing. Yeah. With the goalkeeper, I mean, from your experience with the teams you played in, the best team, did you have that kind of settled back two or back three or whatever? Because I mean, QPR last year had quite a settled back three, didn't they? And it worked quite well for a long time. I mean, do you think it's a case of rotation, or how do you kind of feel about that?
I would say he has something in mind of his best back two. Ian says something about, you know, the mobility of Bristol City's front line. That's why he played Clark Salter ahead of Dunn. But did he think that Clark Salter couldn't play, just coming back from injury, couldn't play three games in a week? So I wouldn't be surprised if Clark Salter comes back in on Friday. I might be wrong. And that's not to say, because I think Jimmy Dunn was excellent last night. And it was, when the ball comes in the box, Jimmy Dunn's there heading it. And he puts his neck on the line and he's diving in. He's trying to block shots. He's a real out-and-out defender, isn't he? Now, the manager might think Clark Salter, left-footed, might be a bit better on the ball than Jimmy Dunn. We're going to have more possession of the ball. We need to start the attacks from the back. And he might go with Clark Salter. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we've got Dickie to come back. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Dickie has done very well for us, hasn't he? Let's not forget that. And he's an asset to the football club. He's, what, 23, 24, 25?
He's 26 now. Is he 26? I was going to say, he's at least 25.
The people upstairs say, hold on, we need to play Dickie because it might be an option to sell him or, I don't know, renew his contract or whatever. So I think really, and Balogun, by the way, has done very well. You know, he's another sort of an out-and-out defender, puts his body on the line, wants to defend. And there ain't many defenders like that. There's a lot of defenders out there who actually don't really enjoy defending. They think defending is, I'll get the ball off the goalkeeper and I'll pass it along the back and we'll pass it. And then when it comes to actual defending, they're not very good. But to be fair to our four defenders, actually, I haven't seen much of Clark Salter. He was
excellent against Bristol City, Clark Salter. He played really well.
But I know, from what I know, and Balogun, but Balogun, Dunn and Dickie, they want to defend. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's very tough because they're all, I ain't got a problem with any four of them playing. Do you know what I mean? I think they're very, all four of them solid. But I think he has done well and they might think he's an asset. And then I think he quite likes Clark Salter because gives a bit of balance to the team with his left foot on the left side of centre-back. So I would think he's preferred when they're all fit and on form. I would say his preferred back two would be Dickie and Clark Salter.
Blackburn, Ian?
Yeah, it was. And reading between the lines of when speaking to Bill, I I think that's his favourite two. I think he likes it. Dickie is the best out of the four they have of actually bringing the ball out and turning, become a defender into a midfielder. And I think, I mean, they're all good defenders. They're very lucky to have four good defenders. You take one out, you put one in, you know, they're all going to do a job. I mean, I would be mildly surprised if Balogun played on Friday.
Did he get last night? Or I remember he'd done a great sort of header or clearance and then he was holding his calf or hamstring. Yeah. And I'm thinking, has he done his hamstring? They look like cramp.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's 33, 34.
Not another one.
So, no, he's done well. I mean, I think he knows the score. He's 33, 34. He obviously wants, look, when you get to 33, 34, you want to play. But then the remit of when the manager signed him, he said, look, I want you to come in. If I need you, you can play. But really, you're going to not, you know, when my top two are available, you might have to sit on the bench for a bit. But I need you. And that might be the remit. And he might say, yeah, I'll sign for a year. I don't know.
Yeah. And 3 games in a week for a 34-year-old is, that's hard going. 3 games in 6 days, that's, you know, long travel, etc. So I would be surprised if Balogun played on Friday. And it shouldn't be seen as a kind of a mistake if he's not playing. He's done nothing wrong, really. All right, he should have done better for the goal at Bristol City, but otherwise he was quite solid at Ashton Gate. I just think I kind of like it. I like what he's doing, just sort of mixing it up and, you know, choosing certain players for certain matches. And
okay, do you like that?
That's what happened. I think that's what happened last season. They just didn't change it up enough because they didn't really have the squad size to do it. And the season blew up in their faces just because they didn't, you know, Dickie played pretty much every single game and then got injured towards the end, wasn't rested. I think now they've got four very good centre-backs they can sort of call upon and mix and match when they need to. I still would have worries about, I've said it before, the left wing-back position. If Kenny Powell, I'm calling him Kenny because all left-backs should be called Kenny, not Kenneth. If he gets injured, I mean, he's been outstanding. Jeez, he's good. I mean, I gave him about going to over the top. I mean, I haven't seen a left-back this good probably since the days of maybe Gino. And before that, Clive Wilson. I mean, Rangers haven't been blessed with too many great left-backs down the last sort of 20 years. But I think, you know, he's been really good, really good. Sort of not only going forward, just defensively. You get a lot of good wing-backs that will get forward and a threat but can't defend. But, I mean, this bloke can. He can do both sides of the game. And, you know, he's really stepped up in recent weeks.
So, yeah. Think about it. So, you've got your start at the moment, your permanent starters would be Dieng when fit, always starts. Laird, fit, always starts. Powell, fit, always starts. Look, always. Chair, always. Sam Field, I would say, is in that category now. And then defensively, they've got options, and then the rest have got options in midfield as well. So you've got, they're your like main starters every week in, week out. And we never sort of talk about, we haven't talked about, oh, you know, what about the fullbacks getting a rest? Because they do a lot of running because they're like up and down, all game. So it's a tough gig, that right back and left back, because you do so many runs, you don't even get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that continues as of what has been a theme since we've probably started doing this podcast. The fullback area continues to be the area where you always think that they need a little bit more because, like you say, they've played a lot of games, Laird and Powell, recently. And if one goes out injured, obviously you've got Kakai to come in. But, you know, Hamalainen, I think, is injured at the moment anyway, even if he was going to come in. And we've kind of, Ian has made his thoughts clear on that before, so we don't need to go over that again. But you know, there is a concern if there's an injury there. But, Kev, I mean, he's Beal has mentioned perhaps going to a back three before. Now, obviously, things have been, I think he did it last night, actually, mid-game, went to a back three. But things have obviously been going very well, him starting with the back four. So maybe there's not, maybe, you know, you feel that they don't need to change it. But with that competition in central defence, do you think that kind of forces his hand a little bit? But at the same time, if he's going to go to a back three, he'd probably have to take a central midfielder out, which, you know, we would make that point earlier. There's a lot of midfielders as well that want game time.
I wouldn't change just to accommodate centre-halves because... because you want to. I think the shape's pretty good. I think I always always believe if you've got a back three, you're worried about one of your centre-halves.
Mm.
That they can't defend. Or you're worried that your centre-halves can't defend. That's what I always believe in. No, I think it will carry on with the back four. No need to change it. Why would you change it? It's not as if, you know, we're getting done all the time. We're winning games. We're looking pretty solid. We're looking good going forward. Keep it as is. Don't just change things for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because once you lose, the fans but the players are giving it, will be doing this. Why is he changing? I've been in changing rooms. They go, why has he changed it? Well, it's all going well. Why are you changing it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I suppose it could be just one of those things that he goes to mid-game, like Sheffield United, when they're under the cosh a little bit and he switches the system and brings the centre back on. That might be the
fair enough way
he uses that, yeah.
Of, you know, you won a lap away against Sheffield United, it's 10-15 minutes. So you know you're going to come under some bit of pressure, because Sheffield United are a good team. They're not top of the league for no reason. They're a good team. So, you know, the ball's going to start coming in the box if you play a little bit deeper and you concede that possession in midfield. And you pack the defence out a bit, and then you stand firm and head the ball out. You'll see that. We'll see that quite a lot this season. If we're 1-0 up away from home, it'll bring on an extra player off.
Simple game, isn't it? Just head it and kick it.
Off and it comes in the box. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on to our predictions, I'm going to say, Ian, is this this recent run, has it changed your expectations at all for what QPR can do? Because I remember you were pretty optimistic anyway before the season started, as sort of saying there's no reason why they can't go and challenge for playoffs again. Are you keeping it under wraps a little bit? You know, as Mick Beale says, it's early, isn't it? Are you managing to contain your optimism?
Yeah, I think it's I'm not gonna lie, it's difficult to contain it when you're getting, you know, results like the last two matches. But it's October. The clocks haven't even gone back yet. So
learned from last season.
You know, well, you have to, don't you? You know, I think again, what players have said and what's been hinted in interviews from other players, I think they got a bit carried away last year. I think there's been a noticeable thing. They keep saying, like, we're not going to look at the league table until March. I think there was that game against Cardiff, wasn't there, last year, when they somehow managed to lose 2-1.
Oh yeah, that was awful. That was,
you know, but they were sort of laying in the second half and just sort of, you know, and Cardiff sort of, you know, scored two goals, and you kind of, there was almost like an arrogance about them. Oh well, you know, we'll just win this game, and you can't do that. This, you know, this league will come back and bite you. It's too many games to play to sort of think, you know, where it should be. But I mean, I maintained all along. The players they lost and the players they kept were key players last year in a team that were in the top six for most of the season. So you don't become those don't become bad players overnight. But the players they brought in to kind of add to that have improved this team. So, I mean, are they good enough to finish in the top two? Maybe not. But again, there's no one in this division that's as good as Fulham was last year. And, you know, Sheffield United will be up there. Burnley, Norwich, the usual suspects. Watford. But, you know, I think Rangers... I've shown that, you know, they should be a team that are in contention for a top six spot without doubt. But it's a long season to go. I mean, I think having the month-long break, I don't think that's going to be a bad thing. I think it will just allow just injuries you've got just to kind of settle down.
Especially if Willock's struggling with his hamstring and Deeng's with his five.
I mean, you hope for Senny that it's not a serious one, that, you know, it doesn't rule him out for a World Cup or anything like that. But
That would be disappointing. Thing.
But, you know, we shall see. But, yeah, but why not? Why not get excited? But it is early. But, you know?
Clip it. Yeah. I'm clipping it.
Yeah. I've still backed him a 30-1 to get promoted, so.
30-1?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good odds. What about you, Kev? Are you with Ian? Are you getting a little bit excited?
I'm not going to talk about it because I was excited. It all went pear shaped. So, it's October. There's a long way to go. And you've got to have a little bit of luck with injuries to key players. And that hurt QPR last season a lot, didn't it? You know, at the back end of last season with injuries to key players. So, you know, fingers crossed, everyone, you know, those two injuries are not too bad and come back quick. Yeah, and just keep everyone fit and QPR, a good football team. Got some good players, good going forward, can score goals. Got a good chance of top six. Like, Ian's right, there's Fulham were by far away the best team last season as everyone was sort of scrapping to get up next to them. But this season, I think it's quite wide open. And, yeah, just keep, just go for them. In football, just go to win the next game and just the next game and just keep on the level. I know it's boring, but just keep on the level. Don't go too high when you win. Don't go too low when you lose. Just keep on the level and just keep going. So,
I think you just got to hang in there, haven't you? You said it all along. Just be in between sort of third and eighth. Just stay around that area. You know, don't lose too much touch. If you lose two games, it can happen. You know, just hang in there. Just hang in there.
I mean, such a tough league.
Hmm.
If you're not at it every game, you'll lose.
You can lose.
QPR not at it on Friday, you know, and think they've made it and the crowd are like a bit blasé, you can lose that game.
Hmm.
Easy. And then you go to Luton away and they're like, you know, it's not a derby game, but there's a lot of history between QPR and Luton and, you know, good atmosphere and they're desperate to beat us and, you know, they haven't, I think they've beat us once in 32 years. So ridiculous. They're desperate to beat us. So that's another game. So they all come thick and fast. Then you have your month off and then it's bang on Saturday, Tuesday. Tough league. Really tough league. And you string three or four like we have and we're right into the playoffs. You lose three or four and you're mid-table. You're looking over your shoulder then. So just keep on the level, keep going.
And the thing is, you can lose a lot of games and still make the playoffs. You know, the teams that finish or sixth and fifth, they still lose a fair amount of games. And, you know, so you go on a bit of a losing run. It's not the end of the world, is it? There's so many games in the season. Like you said, there's always time to kind of turn it around. But I mean, on the serious note, like, you know, last night showed it's a couple of injuries, how quickly things can change. You know, if Dings and Willicks, hopefully they're not too bad. But if they are, you know, that's how quickly things can turn around. I was very impressed with your response there, Kev. Very balanced. I think your football player media training was coming in there. Don't say too much.
Yeah.
keep it calm.
I learned my lesson for last season because I was like, round Chris, adamant that we'd get in the playoffs. And that just.
I think we all were. I think we all said, you know, playoffs sort of minute. I mean, we even did a thing, you know, can they get in the top two? Because that was looking like a real possibility at one point. And then they got up to third, didn't they? And the injuries were the biggest factor, obviously, and then there's a few other things, but it will just derail. I don't blame you for trying to keep your cool a little bit because last season was a massive disappointment. But anyway, we'll move on to our predictions then. Let's say Reading on Friday, very surprising season for them. I think, like we said, a lot of people had them sort of down there as strugglers this season because of a lot of off the field stuff that's going on as well. And they lost a lot of players in the summer. Obviously, John Swift being the biggest one, moving on to West Brom. But Paul Lintz is doing a very good job down there, isn't he, Kev? I mean, what have you made much of? What have you kind of made of Reading? I mean, you mentioned earlier you were a bit surprised at how well they've done.
Yeah, I was because they've struggled the last few years. But Paul Lintz is an ex-manager of mine when I was at MK Dons. Good bloke. Really liked working under him. Bit sort of old school. Gives a lot of responsibility to the players. Yeah, you know, sort of old. I wouldn't say old school, but it would be like. Like on a Friday, you'd be training and everyone be kicking hell out of each other. And you'd be like, what's like going on? Like people going over the top and he'd be saying, I don't care, play on. So bit sort of, you know, that was his sort of Man United mentality of you train the way you play at 100%. But they've done really well. I didn't expect it. My prediction, I think it'll be a tight game. I think they'll come and sort of maybe play on the counter-attack, and which will give QPR more possession of the ball, which will then, I think, Johansson will definitely play. And I will going to go 2-1 QPR.
Nice. Yeah, I think something you can always expect from Paul Lintz's team is teams are that physicality, aren't they? I'm sure you'll know that more than most, Kev. But, I mean, when he was in charge of Blackpool, he was... I mean, it kind of overspilled to the point where we were getting red cards every other game, which wasn't so good. But, you know, it can happen. That's the kind of what he wants from his players. Obviously, it's just important to maintain it and keep it under control, yeah, I suppose.
He likes competitive training, which then which then goes to the game, yeah. A first team match on a Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian, what are you predicting from this one? As we said earlier, is it Roberts coming number 10? Do you think Dykes gets a recall for this one? Obviously, he had a good game against Reading last year, didn't he? Maybe that comes into it as well. Do you think he's sort of knocking on the door for a start again with Willock's injury? Does that sort of force Beale's hand a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. He did play well that day, and he has scored. I think he's got quite a decent goal scoring record against Reading as well. I think it'll be a tough game. I mean, I think the worry is, I think you're going to get a lot of fans turning up the game Friday, just expecting Reading to roll over, because
yeah,
I don't think that will be the case. I mean, they're third for a reason, regardless of whatever you think about their squad, and if they're in a false position, you are where you are. You know, Joe Lumley's coming back. I mean, Jeff Hendrick, who scored last night for him, he's going to come back with a point to prove. Disappointing loan spell here last year. Yeah, it'll be a tough game. I think it'll be a tight game. That would be my worry, that there is a kind of expectancy around the place that, well, they'll just turn up and win. So I'm going to go for a draw. And I think a draw would be a good result as well. I think if you turn around and get 7 points from a week, that's a great return. You can't really complain about too much about that. But, I mean, it would be great if they can go out sort of 3 points, 9 out of 9 for a week. That really would be a fantastic week. But, I mean, I think I don't think you can underestimate the difficulty in having a long away game on a Tuesday and then backing up and playing on the Friday. Reading about 3 games this week, but they were at home last night. That will work in their favour. But I mean, if you come into a purely footballing point of view, QPR got better players. QPR should win the game. But I think because of the travel, because of, you know, I'm gonna go with a 1-1.
Yeah, well, I'm going to copy you because my prediction is also going to be a 1-1 for the exact same reasons you say, actually. I just think, you know, how quick the turnaround is, and Beale's kind of vented his frustration about, you know, having the game on the Friday after playing Sheffield away on the Tuesday. You know, it's very difficult. And obviously Reading having the home game, that does work to their advantage. And I think the blow of losing Willock as well, I mean, we don't know the severity of it, but it's hard to see him playing in that game, isn't it? So I think that comes into it as well. So yeah, I think a 1-1 draw. And I'd like to say, I don't think that would be a bad result because of the schedule. And, you know, in the last two results, I think a point would actually be not too bad, even though it's, like you say, it's at home against Reading, albeit they've done very well this season. But it's a team that on paper they should be beating. I still don't think a point would be too bad. But yeah, anyway, let's see how they get on, and fingers crossed that Willock and Dieng's injuries are not too bad. If you keep an eye on West London Sport over the next couple of days, I'm sure we'll have some more news on that when we get it. So yeah, if you do enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching us, or leave us a positive review, and subscribe if you're listening wherever you get your podcasts. And on YouTube, leave us a like and a comment as well. Let us know what you think about what we've said today, and we'll be back again very soon, hopefully with some positive injury news. Thanks.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.